I doubt that you talk to your spouse the same way that you talk to that person at the drive-thru window. Do you? Maybe you talk to the person at the drive-thru window better than you talk to your spouse. I don't know. Or maybe it's the other way around. I suspect that you don't talk to your friends the same way that you talk to that telemarketer who calls you and you accidentally answered the phone and found out who it was. I doubt you talk to them the same way. I suspect that you don't talk to your boss the same way that you talk to a lot of other people. You know, we talk to different people differently, perhaps, based upon who they are. Let me ask you a question. How do you talk to God? When you talk to God, is it like talking to your boss? When you talk to God, is it like talking to the telemarketer? When you talk to God, is it like talking to that person at the drive-thru window? What is it like when you talk to God? This morning I want us to focus our thoughts on what is it like and what would it be like for us to talk to God more closely. How closely do you talk to God? And what could you do to talk to your God more closely than you ever have before? I don't know how often you pray. I don't know what it's like when you pray. But what could you do starting today to talk to God more closely than you ever have before? As we think about these things this morning, I want to share with you some thoughts about what is going to be required of us. If you and I were to leave here today determined, I want to talk to God closer than I ever have before, what's going to be required of us? Let me share just a few things with you. Number one, it's going to require familiarity, both with God and with prayer. What is prayer all about? What does it mean when we pray? The simplest definition for prayers is that we're talking to God. But I want you to think about that. When you think about praying, and when you think about talking with God, this is different than we talk to anyone else. Do we know that? When we pray to God, we don't need to think about, well, I'm talking to somebody who's like my boss. That's not how we talk to God. Well, I'm talking to God do you have those HOA people in your neighborhood? You know those people that they've got a right to tell you everything about your house and the way it on. You have those condo commandos, that's what we used to call them. You know, those people, they've got the rule book and they're going to make sure you're following the rule book. Is that how you talk to God? When we pray, we need to be mindful that we are involved in an intimate conversation with our Father. That we're coming unto His very throne, the very throne that Hebrews 4 and verse 16 describes as the throne of grace. You might have different ideas about God's throne, and sometimes you think about a king's throne and you think about the authority and the power that is there and the rule that is there and the edicts that come forth from that. But the Bible describes this as you're approaching your Father's throne of grace. We need to be familiar with that. But when we pray, it's not just that we're talking to God. When we pray, we are communing with God. It's not just that we are there and we are talking with Him, but we are there spending personal time with God. Have you ever
talked to somebody and then you just kind of sat there and you weren't really sure what else to say? You've been talking and talking and all of a sudden there's just this moment of silence. Is that okay to have in prayer? Where there's just a moment of silence, or do we think we have to be talking all the time? You know, sometimes when we pray, we need to pause long enough to think, I'm not just talking into thin air here.
I am spending personal time with my Father, with my God. In James chapter 4, the Bible says, draw near to God. That's what happens when we pray. As we step into His presence, we come there and we are there to spend time, to commune with Him. Think about that word. That we are communicating with Him. That we're just sitting with Him. Did you ever have one of those moments? And maybe it wasn't even possible. Where you just wanted to sit down with one of your loved ones. Just talk to them one more time. Where you just wanted to call somebody up and just say, I just need to talk about this. I just need to let this out. When we pray, we talk with God. When we pray, the Bible says that we commune with God. When we pray, the Bible says that we are opening our hearts to God. It's not that we're holding anything back. It's not that we're trying to hide anything. God is not someone that we're trying to keep any secrets from. We are opening our hearts. We are letting God see inside of us down to our very core. We're making ourselves vulnerable to God. One of the Psalms that we've read this month, one of the Psalms that we read this past week, is Psalm 139. And Psalm 139 talks about the grandeur and the majesty of God. Talks about God's omnipotence, how powerful He is. It talks about God's omniscience, how He's everywhere. Talks about how God knows all things. And yet, the end of that psalm, Psalm 139 and verse 23. Could you pray this? David prays, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. And know my anxieties. When we pray, that's what we're doing. When we pray, that's what we need to say to God, is to open ourselves up and say, God, would you look inside? Search me, God. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. You know me better than anyone else. And just search me, know me, try me today, God. Know what my anxieties are. In fact, God, it's not that I just want you to know what my anxieties are. I want to take my anxieties and cast them upon you. I don't want them anymore. God, here are my cares. Here are my worries. Here are the concerns that I have of life. Here are the burdens that I'm trying to make it through this life with. And God, I am done with them. I am casting all of my care upon you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, because He cares for you. You ever unloaded on somebody? Talking about just you couldn't take it anymore and you just let them know your heart. You just bared your heart before them and you unloaded all. You just said, I've got to let this out. When you talk to God, do you just let it out? And you talk to God, you say, God, I can't carry this by myself anymore. Forgive me for trying to carry it by myself all this while. God, I need to give this to you. Think about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Psalm 139 verse 23 says, try me and know my anxieties. And then Philippians 4 and verse 6 says what? Be anxious for nothing. God, when you look inside of me, I want you to see my anxieties, and then I'm going to give you my anxieties so that I'm not anxious about anything anymore. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we do that, when we pour our hearts out to God, we allow God to have an impact on our life. When we do that, we allow God to give us wisdom. We allow God to give us counsel. Have you ever asked somebody for advice? What do you think I ought to do in this situation? Have you ever prayed and asked God to give you wisdom? In James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "He who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally." When we pray, we need to ask God for counsel. We need to ask God for wisdom. And that's what Psalm 139, verse 23 says, "Search me, O God, know my heart." Verse 24, the end of verse 24 says, "Lead me in your path everlasting." We need to ask God to lead us, to guide us, to give us wisdom, to help us through the pains of this life. How often do we do that? That's what prayer is. If we want to talk to God more closely, we need to have a familiarity with God. We need to have a familiarity with what am I doing when I pray? I'm not just talking. I'm not just throwing these words out in air where they have no meaning. I am talking with my Father. I am communing with my Father, opening my heart before Him, casting all of my cares upon Him, and letting Him give me counsel for my life. Are you ready to do that today? Could we leave here today more determined than ever before? I'm going to be a person of prayer. And I'm going to be a person starting this day who draws closer to God on a daily basis than I ever have before. If we are going to draw closer to God, it's going to require familiarity. Number two, it requires faith. Would you pray to God and ask God for anything if you didn't have faith? Would you pray to God if you didn't have faith? For us to pray, for us to truly be drawn closer to God, is going to require within us a deep and abiding faith. What does that faith look like? What's involved in that faith? In faith, there is a certainty that we have. Faith is not just some whimsical idea. Faith is not just a wish that we might have. Here are some terms that the Bible uses to describe what faith is. Faith is a certainty in God. That I might not be able to see Him, but He's there. And I'm absolutely certain that He's there. Without faith, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, you know the verse, right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. For me to come to God, I must believe that He is. And not just some wishful thinking, but have a certainty that He's there. James 1 and verse 5 says, "Ask of God for wisdom. He gives to all liberally." And then verse 6 says, "When we ask, we need to ask in faith with no doubting." When we pray, our hearts need to be full of certainty that God is there. Our hearts need to be full of trust. And this idea of trust when we pray is that we know and we believe that God knows what is best. And He doesn't just know what is best, He'll do what is best. Do you trust God? I don't know who there is in your life that you trust. There are people in my life, and I know there's people in your life, that I would trust with anything. Doesn't matter. I love them. I know them. I trust them. And it doesn't matter what it is. I trust them. Do you have that person in your life? What about God? Do you think God knows what's best? And if He knows what's best, do you think God will do what is the very best for you? Do we believe that God is in control? Do you believe that? Sometimes we think we're in control. Sometimes we like to be in the driver's seat. You see that person driving down the road that says, with a bumper sticker that says, "God is my co-pilot." Oops, that's not a good spot. Better switch seats. God needs to be our pilot. He needs to be the one in control. Because if God's your co-pilot, who's the pilot of your life? You are. Wrong. You don't want to be the one in control of your life and let God be your assistant. That's not the way it works. We need to have full faith. We need to have full trust in God. You know the verse in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with, what's that word? Oh, all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Oh, wow. That verse was on a plaque, about a 6x9, 8x10 plaque in my house. I knew that growing up in my house, that verse was there. And I knew that verse because it was on that plaque. But I didn't realize how challenging that verse is. Lean not on your own understanding. When I pray, and when I pray and say, not my will, but, oh, your will be done, I'm not in control. God, I trust that you know better than I do. And while I am casting all of my cares upon you and I'm opening my heart to you, God, I trust you. That's what faith is. You want to draw closer to God? You want to talk to God closer than you ever have before? Put your trust in Him that He knows better than you do. And that He will do what is best for you. Faith involves certainty. Faith involves trust. Faith involves assurance. Look in 1 John chapter 5. Turn over. There's some verses, and we've mentioned a number of them this morning. But there are some verses that you need to know when it comes to the matter of prayer. In 1 John chapter 5, there's a couple verses here that are key. When we come to God, we need to have assurance that God hears us when we pray. Look in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5, verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Do you have confidence in God? This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask, what word do you have after that? If we ask anything, how do we ask it? According to His will. If we ask anything according to His will, God, not my will, but your will be done. If we ask anything, what does the end of this verse say? Last three words, He hears us. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that faith that when you're in the hospital and you're facing surgery, you've got assurance that God hears me when I'm praying? I'm not just talking out into the air in this room. He hears me, and I've got absolute assurance that He hears me. But not just assurance, I have expectation He will answer me. What does the next verse say? You got that? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, He hears us. Verse 15, and if we, K-N-O-W, and if we know that He hears us, and we do, whatever we ask, we know, K-N-O-W again, that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Do you know that He hears you? Do you know that He answers you? You want to pray to God? You want to talk to God more closely than you ever have before? Then have assurance that He hears you. Have expectation that when you pray to God, He is going to respond. He's going to answer your prayer. Now, understand. Here's a key. You want a key? Understand that the answer to prayer, the best answer to your prayer, is not always yes. What are you talking about? You just said, whatever I ask, I get. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, whatever you ask, God hears you and He will answer you. But wait a minute, go back to that idea of trust. Do we trust that God knows what's best? Do we trust that if we ask something of God, that He knows better than we do? Do we ask according to His will? Do we know that sometimes the best answer to that prayer is not always yes? Sometimes the best answer to your prayer is no. Because God knows better than we do. Sometimes the best answer to our prayer is not right now. Sometimes the best answer to your prayer is that all you want? Well, sure, I'll give you that, but I'm going to give you so much more than that. Remember Solomon? Remember Solomon said, Lord, just give me wisdom. And God said, that's all you want? I'll give you that, and I'm going to give you more than that. Would that be okay with you?
No, God, I didn't ask for this extra stuff. I don't want all these extra blessings. I only asked for this. Do we ever do that? Oh, no. But what do we want? We want the answer to be yes. But if it's ever no, or if it's ever wait, or if it's ever let me give you something different, we need to trust God. Draw closer to Him and believe with all of our hearts that He knows what's best. Faith involves certainty and trust. It involves assurance. It involves expectation. And when we pray, faith involves dependence. When we pray, we are saying, I need God. Do you ever tell God that? Has somebody ever told you that? Some person ever just told you, I need you. Do we ever say that to God? God, I can't make it. I can't make it without you. I need you. And back to that illustration about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon said unto the Lord, I don't know how to go out and how to come in. I don't know how to do this without you. We need to say that to God. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah said, I know that the way of man is who walks is not in himself. I know the way of man is not in himself. Well, where is the way of man? It is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Well, how are we going to make it? I depend on God. I cast my cares upon God. I plead with my God and I say, God, I can't do this without you. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, without me, do you believe this? Without me, you can do. You know what that next word is? Jesus said, Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room just hours before he is betrayed and crucified the next morning. And he says to them, without me, you can do nothing. Do we believe that? If we want to draw closer to God than we ever have before, it's going to require familiarity with Him and with prayer. It's going to require a deep faith that involves all of these elements. But in order to talk to God more closely than ever, it requires frequency. I'm not talking about radio frequency, okay? I'm not talking about you got to go and tune your radio dial, and some people don't even know what a radio dial is. But it's not that you've got to try to get the right frequency. But in order for our prayers to draw us closer to God, it requires a constancy about our prayer lives. It requires that we maintain what is sometimes called a prayerful spirit or a heart of prayer. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 is a challenging verse where it says that we are to pray without ceasing. What? What do you mean pray without ceasing? You mean I can't do anything else? I've just got to sit and close my eyes and bow my head and pray all of the time? That's not what it means. I am to be in a constant state of readiness. I am to be in a constant state where I am at any moment ready to talk to my God. Are you in that kind of state? Are you in that frame of mind? Where you're just in an open conversation with God. Not there are regular times where we need to sit and talk to God, and we're going to say that in just a minute. But we need to have an open line of communication with God. Do you ever get one of those calls where somebody called you by accident? They have some names for these calls that are not so nice. But somebody called you, we'll just call it a pocket dial. That's a nice way to say it. Where somebody pocket dialed you, and you got to listen. They didn't mean to call you, but you're just sitting there listening to what's going on. You ever done that? Or did you just hang up? Some of you are like, what's going on here? Oh, listen to what they're listening on the radio. Oh, that's not a very nice thing to do, by the way, hang up. But you've got an open line. That's what an open line is. Somebody's called you, and all of a sudden you're listening into everything that's going on. Guess what? God's already listening into everything that's going on. But if we keep an open line of constant communication with God, so that as you're driving down the road and you think of something, you say, God, please help me with that today. God, please be with that person today. God, I remember them talking about her having surgery this week. God, please be with her today. Where you have an open line of communication that is constantly, always open. Now, that's not all the Bible says about the frequency of our prayers. It's not just about this matter of constancy, but it's about a matter of having a regularity to our prayers. We need to have a specific time in our day where we stop the world and we pray. That constant communication is always there. Walking down the sidewalk, driving down the road, walking into work, walking up into the pulpit. By the way, I pray every time I walk up here. You don't see my eyes closed, do you? It is a constant mode of communication, but there needs to be that regularity where I stop the world and I don't do anything else for these next few minutes but talk to my God. You go back and look at the Bible heroes. Isn't that what Daniel did in Daniel 6 and verse 10? Three times a day, set times he prayed. David in Psalm 55, evening, morning, and noon, I will pray. He had set times when he prayed. Would you believe that even Jesus appeared to have set times when he prayed? Sometimes he would get up early in the morning before anybody else did. Sometimes he'd stay up all night and pray. Jesus had a regular time. If Jesus, God on this earth, had a regular time when he talked to God, what about me? Do I need a regular time when I stop the world and I don't do anything else but just talk to my God? Commune with my God. Open my heart to my God. Pour out, cast my cares upon my God and show Him how much I need Him. That's what I've got to have. In order to draw closer to God, I've got to have that. And then in this regularity, there needs to be repetition. Is it okay to pray the same thing more than once? There's some folks who have thought that wasn't the right thing to do. They thought if I prayed and asked God about it once, that's, you know, how many times am I supposed to pray about it? He knows. I don't need to say anything else. How often should you ask God for something? Is it okay to repeat the same request? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was. A thorn in the flesh that had been given unto him. Do you know what Paul did about that thorn in the flesh? He prayed about it. Do you know how many times he prayed about it? It says that he prayed about it three times, meaning he repeated the same thing over and over. Why did he think God didn't hear him the first time? He knew God heard him the first time. You have the story of this Gentile woman that comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 and asks him repeatedly for the same thing. And very similar to this idea of repetition is in my prayers, I need to have persistence. I don't give up. I don't stop. Did Jesus pray for the same thing more than once? Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went away and prayed, "Father, if it be at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Went back and saw his disciples. Went back and prayed a second time. Went back and saw his disciples. In Matthew chapter 26, it says, he went the third time and prayed the same words. Is it okay for me to pray the same words? And it's not just about repetition, but it's about persistence. Look in Luke chapter 11 for just a second. Look in Luke chapter 11. You have Jesus, and it's interesting. We sometimes think about these verses being from Matthew chapter 7 that we're going to see in just a minute. But look in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5, Jesus says, Which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight, and say to him, 'Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine has come on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' Jesus says, 'I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.' So I say," don't stop there. "So I," Jesus, "say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." What's the context of those verses? Context of those verses is Jesus telling a parable about a friend who was persistent with his friend. What's Jesus telling us to do in prayer? What permission is Jesus giving us in prayer? To be persistent. Daniel prayed three times a day. David prayed three times a day. Paul prayed for the same thing three times. Jesus prayed for the same thing three times. Three, three, three. Ask, seek, knock. This isn't just talking about saying the same thing three times. There is an increase in intensity involved in our prayers. And it's not just a one-time thing. The verbs here are present tense. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. When we pray, it doesn't just need to be one time we go and talk to God. I am persistent. That doesn't mean I'm rude or ugly or bossy. It means that as His child, I have been given permission to come before Him and to come before His very throne, to continually pour out my heart about the same things. How often do you pray for your children? How often do you pray, depending on how old your children are, how often do you pray for your children that they might grow up and be baptized one of these days? You going to ever stop praying that prayer? How often do you pray for your children that they will grow up and marry a Christian? Is it okay for you to pray that more than once? How often do you pray for your children that they might remain faithful Christians until Jesus comes back? Is it okay to pray that more than once? How often do you pray for your children who are not faithful Christians? You pray for them every day? Plead with God for something to happen in their life that they'll come to the Lord? We need to be persistent. God, when God already knows what you're going to ask, but you ask it anyway because He's your friend, and you're pleading with your friend to hear you, He ought to be your best friend that you spend a frequent amount of time with. Finally, this morning, in order to draw closer to God, it's going to require fervency in our prayers. This isn't some lackadaisical exercise. It's not just, well, I'm just talking, and you know, I'm just a talker, so I'm just going to get going and talking to God. There needs to be a fervency. What's involved in fervency that I have in praying to God? First of all, there is a reverence I must have when I pray to God. There shouldn't be some flippant activity. This, look at Jesus and how Jesus prayed. Was Jesus flippant? Did Jesus come along and say, "Hey, Dad, how you doing? I just hadn't talked to you today. Just wanted to let you know how things are going." Read John 17. That's the real Lord's Prayer, is John 17. Read that prayer. See how reverent Jesus is. When He says, "Holy Father," when He says, "Righteous Father," in that chapter. Does that tell us how we need to pray? With reverence. Psalm 89 says that He is to be approached by reverence by all people. We need to have our hearts full of reverence that I am an insignificant coming before the Almighty God. That will help me to draw closer to God. That will help my prayers to be more fervent, to have that kind of reverence. Secondly, what is fervency involve? It involves that I'm praying with my whole heart. When you talk to God, don't do it half-hearted. When you talk to God, don't do it where you have divided attention. You need to pray with all of your heart. Read through Psalm 119 and see how many times it talks about appealing to God, calling upon God with all of your heart. We need to give it everything we've got. What does it mean that our prayers are they require fervency? It's this idea that I am praying. The word that's used in Luke 22 is the word earnest. Luke chapter 22 tells about Jesus praying. Think we could learn anything about prayer from Jesus? Luke 22 and verse 44 says, He went away the third time and He prayed. You know this verse says? He prayed all the more earnestly. Have you ever prayed like that? Where you were just crying out to God. Read the Psalms. Have you noticed in reading Psalms this month how many times it talks about crying out to God? We're not just talking here. We're crying. We're pleading with God. We have an earnestness about us. James 5 and verse 16 says that there is a fervent, that we pray with a fervent heart, pouring our heart out to God with everything that we've got. If we're going to pray fervently, it's got to have an earnestness to it. It must have, an interesting word is, it's got to have a watchfulness to it. You think, what is that all about? Remember what Jesus said to His disciples when He came and found them? Watch, and pray that you enter not into temptation. When we pray, there needs to be a circumspect about it. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, Peter says, be serious and vigilant in your prayers. There's a fervency. There's an earnestness. There's an enduring quality where I am being watchful. I'm being serious about what's going on. And finally, when we talk about this matter of fervency, the Bible gives us permission to have boldness in our prayers. There's humility that must characterize us. Humility that must characterize our prayers. My Father who art in heaven, I do that humbly. I do that with the utmost respect. But the Bible tells me I can have confidence and assurance and boldness when I come before coming before the one who is almighty, who is all-knowing, who's all-loving. How closely do you feel like your prayer life is? Maybe your prayer life goes up and down. Maybe there are times when you feel like you're closer to God than other times. I suspect, and you look back in your life and you see those moments in your life where you felt closer to God than you ever were before, I suspect that you were spending more time in prayer at that point in your life than you were at other times. Because prayer draws us to God. How close are you to God? Our theme for this year has been talking about 28 days. We're only in January, but the theme for the whole year is that every month we are going to take 28 days in the month and focus on 28 things we can do on those 28 days during the month to help us to walk daily with our Lord. And hopefully by the end of the year we will have accomplished some things where by very practical application we've been able to do some things that are able to help us draw closer to God. And so for the month of January, and I hope you've been involved in this because everyone who has said anything about this has said how much this has meant to them to be able to spend time just reading a psalm a day for 28 days. There's still some booklets out on the welcome desk that can take you through this. You can go to our website, go to our Facebook page and find just 28 psalms to read that will draw you closer to God and help you to grow in praise of God. And you want to be closer to God, you need to spend time studying His Word. Well, on Thursday of this week, guess what starts? A whole new month. Thursday of this week we're already at the end of January. So Thursday of this week is going to start the month of February. How many days does February have in it this year? So what can we do for 28 days that can help us to draw closer to God? You got any inkling of an idea of what it might be? Based upon the sermon this morning, you have any inkling of an idea of what it might be that we might focus on in February? 28 days to talk to God more closely. In February, we can spend 28 days focusing on our prayer life. So as you leave this morning and the carts that are out there and the ushers can take the lids off of those boxes, there are some new booklets. We're not going to have a booklet every month, but we got another one this month that can help us to talk to God more closely this month than maybe we ever have before. So on the cover is what you have on the screen, 28 days of intimate communication with God. Talk to God fervently, repeatedly, reverently, confidently, expectantly, sincerely, and humbly. Spending 28 days praying. What would happen if this whole church spent 28 days praying together? Spent 28 days, all of us praying. Is it going to make us stronger? Is it going to draw us closer to each other? Is it going to draw us closer to the Lord together? Spending 28 days praying. So, when you flip this open on the inside, here's what it says. Find a quiet time every day for 28 consecutive days, when you can pray fervently, repeatedly, reverently, confidently, expectantly, sincerely, and humbly to your Father in heaven. Make this a special part of every day for these 28 days. Spend time earnestly pouring your heart out to God at a set time for these days. You might use, and there's some pages in here, you might use the six-sentence prayer forms on each of the following pages. And we'll show one of these. And we introduced a six-sentence prayer a couple of years ago. And it's just a starting point for you to use in prayer. But here's the key. Here's the key for February. Then heartily and persistently appeal to God for that day's special plea. And so we are recommending in these booklets a special plea for every day for 28 days. And wouldn't it be something if you didn't just pray this once during the day, but that if this one thing was on your heart throughout the day, and throughout the day you just repeatedly talk to God about this one thing, in addition to other things, but at least talk to God three or four times that day, if not more. Talk to God more closely. Here's the challenge. Talk to God more closely for these 28 days than you ever have before. It'll change our lives if we'll do it. And so there's 28 pages in here. And on each page it has at the top, here's the day when you can talk to God more closely. It has Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 there. And then it has a place here that if you want to use, here are six starter sentences. Remember being in school and you get a starter sentence? The teacher gives you a starter sentence. Okay, finish this sentence. Well, God has given us some starter sentences for prayer. What needs to be involved in our prayer? We have a part of our prayer that's exaltation. Lord, you are. And we exalt God for who He is. Part of our prayer could be supplication. Please help me, and fill in the blank. Please help me do what? Intercession. Please be with this person. Appreciation. Thank you for this. Confession. Please forgive me for. And submission. Not my will, but your will be done. And there's a place for 28 days, basically, to have a prayer journal. To journal through the month. Here's what I've been praying for. Here's what I've been asking God to do. And then down at the bottom is a box on every page. And for the first day, here's an example. Plea number one, make a fervent, repeated, confident plea to God today for God's will to be done on this earth and in my life. What if we pray four times on Thursday, God, let your will be done on earth and in my life? What if we prayed that all throughout the day on Thursday? And then on Friday, there's a whole nother one, and these are all listed in the book. Drawing closer to God is not dependent on a little booklet. Drawing closer to God is not dependent on a list of 28 things provided by the church. But what would happen? What would happen if every member of this church spent the 28 days of February calling upon God, talking to God closer than we ever have before? I would encourage you to pick up one of these booklets on your way out. Have a look at them as we've been doing. These will be posted on our Facebook and Twitter and website pages for you to follow along and to share. And I know a lot of you have been sharing these with others, and people from other congregations have been commenting about how they're following along and doing this with us as we are doing it too. And that's not to bring honor or glory to us. It's to say, what can we do this year to really mold and shape our lives to become more like Jesus? We are going to have future months where we talk about praying for one another. We'll have a future month where we really emphasize being thankful to God in our prayers. So these 28 things here, they do not emphasize a lot about praying for one another, and they don't emphasize a lot about being thankful. Not because that shouldn't be a part of our prayers, but because we're looking forward. And we have some months in the future where we're going to focus solely on those things. But what can we do to draw closer to God? I hope that we will this month. You know, in order for us to be drawn closer to God and talk to Him more closely, requires one other thing. It requires that we be in fellowship with Him. It requires that we have a relationship with Him. It requires that I truthfully be able to say to God, my Father. Is God your Father? The only way He can be your Father is for you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for you, shed His blood for you. He was raised from the dead the third day. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you believe that with all of your heart, you can look at the life of sin and say, I don't want to live that anymore. To change your mind, to change your heart, say, I want to stop doing what's wrong. I want to start doing what's right. Turn your life over to the Lord. And if you're ready to do that this morning, you can confess with your mouth, just as they did in the New Testament. Confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and to be baptized just as they were in the New Testament. And let God wash away every sin you've ever committed. Let God add you unto His church and write your name in heaven. If you've never done that, give your life to the Lord today. And then He calls upon us as His children to walk faithfully with Him. Is God your Father? Can you leave here today calling upon Him as your Father? Are you His child? If that's not the case, you can make it right now as together we stand and sing.